And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, August 13th, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 27. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. You kind of know the drill at this point. Maybe you don't. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, search In-Game Chat, and you will find us. We're on Twitch. Hi, everybody watching on Twitch. We're also on Discord. I point to my right here. And I've got Discord up on. Nobody's in there to talk with us yet, but feel free to jump in there and talk to us and, you know, get on the show if you'd like to, because that is what we are here for. Yeah, Twitch, find us there. We got the chat room up as well. Already got some folks in there. Lethal Migraine, Bama Brian, Drunk Degenerates, AC Wraith, and Retrode in there as well. Yes, got to do the clapping thingy, the thing with the thing. With the whatever. Ah, that's stuck. Anyway. There you go. That's going to help me later when I edit this video. And put it together and get it up on the YouTubes. Drunk Degenerates. Josh, he is in the middle of a TTRPG session. Wanted to say hi at least. Having plenty of fun with Cult of the Lamb here. Haven't picked that up yet. Don't have Cult of the Lamb just yet. We're trying to figure out which way to go. Wendy wants it, but then we're, you know, I said I read something about it, you know, having some stuttering issues on PC or something like that. There's some issues on PC. She doesn't have the best of graphics cards in that PC. I should swap, do some swap outs, but should be able to run something like Cult of the Lamb, no problem. And so the other option, you know, I said, well, we can do a console, you know, Switch, that sort of thing, so you can have the portability with it as well. So we still haven't made that. I did buy something this morning. I haven't played it. I just bought it because it was on sale. It was on my wish list. Norco, I think is what it's called.
Norco.
Yeah. N-O-R-C-O. Norco. Hmm. That was a, this is checkout line purchase. Like, not that I was even in a checkout line. You know what I'm saying? Because usually, but when you're in a grocery store, you're in the checkout line. You're like, oh, look. Something ungodly wrong for, you know, like candy of some sort that you should not be eating. You know, or what's it, that's, I'm not saying you shouldn't eat candy. I'm just saying the candy bars that they put right there at the checkout line are always the big giant things. It's never just like, hey, here's a little normal size Snickers. Nope, it's king size, baby, with the two in the two of them in the thing or whatever.
Right.
Or the big cups from the Reese's, which I'm okay with.
Four pack.
Yeah, it's just always the big stuff, you know, unless you want gum. I don't mind gum, but that's usually not an impulse purchase. That's usually I go in there for gum. It's the reason, you know.
What about bubble gum?
No, same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't, pack of
bubble. I have not had bubble gum in forever. I used to, when I used to go to E3 and PAX.
Yeah.
I had a hard whistle come out of my mouth there for a second. PAX. It's back in my day when I went to PAX. Son of Paul Harvey for a minute.
Yep.
When I used to go to PAX and E3, I'd chew gum all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd take the Dentine Ice, whatever, the little cubes.
Yeah.
That thing, I'd always have a box of that in my bag and chew on it all day.
Yeah.
All day. I have no idea why I did that, but I would do it. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped. I don't know when or why or what started that way, but that's what happened. So,
yeah. Bubblicious original or Hubba Bubba.
But I never did the bubblegum stuff.
Yeah.
Bubblegum lost its flavor real quick. You know, sort of the ice stuff. I basically just wanted something to chew, and I guess.
Yeah, pretty much all do. I think the fastest that ever dissipated was Fruit Stripe.
Oh, God.
That lasts like a good 8 minutes.
Hey, I know. The Olive Garden of bubblegum.
Yeah.
the basically I just needed something to chew on, and I think bubble gum comes in much bigger pieces than what the little things do.
So do.
I think big league chew.
Can
you look at that, right? Like, this is completely off topic. Big league chew It's amazing to think that they Big League Chew's still around, and it's perfectly fine that it is.
Yeah.
It's just
good flavors too.
Let's take a habit.
Yeah.
And market it to children somehow.
Yeah.
Like, here's candy cigarettes. Don't you want to be like an adult? Here, have a candy cigarette. Don't you want to be like your favorite player? Here's a pack of snuff.
Let's take this big aluminum bag of chewable tobacco.
And then
which is basically shredded tobacco.
Put gum in it for the
take a sheet of bubble gum, shred it in little strips.
Yeah.
And let kids simulate it.
What's the one that was it came out in just one big strand? Bubble tape?
Bubble tape.
Yeah.
That's to upset people. Some would take that whole
Which, by the way, you just bite it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. If I got a thing of bubble tape, if you give me individually wrapped pieces of bubble gum, sure, I'm going to have one piece.
Yeah.
If you give me something like bubble tape, the first curiosity thing in your head is like, I wonder what the whole thing would be like if you put it in your mouth. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. It's what you're gonna do,
yeah.
And guess what? You will do it every single time you get one, because you don't get them all the time, and so every single time it's been long enough for you to think, I don't remember what that was like. Let me go ahead and put the whole thing in, or like you said, just take a big chunk, bite out of it. Yeah. You know,
take it out of
a cookie.
And just take a big bite out of it.
So, anyway, enough of that. We were talking about Cult of the Lamb, and I'm getting there are plenty of people talking. I just read an article saying to wait for Cult. It's very buggy. Lethal Migraine says Cult seemed fine on Xbox when I was watching a stream. Yeah, console versions I don't think have a problem. Lethal Migraine, I think console versions are fine. I think it was just PC versions. I don't know about that, but I think the console versions are absolutely okay to be playing Cult of the Lamb, and it is a game that I would like to get into and play. It's also a game that doesn't seem to have any sort of multiplayer aspect to it. Doesn't seem like it has any sort of urgency of you better do this now while everybody else is doing it type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. So that's one of the ways I look at stuff, is that, you know, what is the immediacy of this thing? Is it something that you should play now while other people are also playing it, because then you can, it's going to be better for you because other people are playing it. And that somehow feeds into an overall thing where you guys can, where there's a, I don't know, some kind of capability where you can get team up with other people, or well, there's no co-op, there's nothing like that that I know of. Point being, there's no immediacy on this thing. It is new, and I think it's actually probably very good. I've seen nothing but fantastic reviews. But if you don't have the $20-24 to do it, or feel like, I could go lower than that, might as well wait it out. I don't see why not.
No rush.
Yeah. Well, AC Wraith says single player is greater than multiplayer in most games. I mean, I agree that it is, but that's the point, is that I'm trying to think of where that comes into play, and I can't remember. There's been a couple of games that have released that you kind of want to be in on, not necessarily at the ground floor, but you kind of want to strike while the iron's hot type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everybody's contributing
That hot new game everyone's talking about, that kind of pulls you in, that type of thing.
If it has a multiplayer aspect. If it has a single player aspect, I don't necessarily know that it's something you should really jump into. Outside of being spoiled by a story. In other words, you know, something like A Last of Us, or like, I don't know, is anything else that may have something that is, you know, you're playing through this once and you don't want the story spoiled for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to come by. I think it's harder for me to come by in games now. Actually, that depends. No, that's a lie. Because news outlets and stuff they do it now with movies and things. It's like, shut up. Some of us don't see it the weekend it's out. Some of us will see it two or three weekends it's out. I used to, but hardly ever anymore. And they'll post an article saying about that ending of blah blah, and I'm like, man, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I just attended this pre-screening of this hot new film coming out. Let me tell you all about it.
Yeah, but don't. You know, or they say something, what happens to so-and-so at the end of such-and-such? And I'm like, well, now I know apparently something happens. at the end to such and such because you've said this. You have not directly revealed any sort of a spoiler, but it was enough for me to feel disappointed. And that's everybody. That's an objective type thing as to how the one thing that would always mess me up is a movie or TV show with a central figure, central character. Manga. Let's go Walking Dead.
Okay.
Let's go to Walking Dead. Main character of Walking Dead, Rick. Right?
Right.
Exactly. Hey, did you catch Walking Dead last night? No, I got DVR and was like, oh, Rick dies at the end. Ah, you're not spoiling me. Well, you know, he's like, oh, I'm not spoiling because the main character never dies, right? That's a spoiler in itself. If you tell me that he didn't do it, then now that's not necessarily the case. Now, if I've seen previews and maybe they're threatening that he's supposed to or something like that, and you say, oh, he dies at the end, and then he doesn't, you wouldn't spoil that for me, but by saying that, you're telling me that, oh, he does live, you know? Otherwise, you just flat out told me how it ended or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really weird about my spoilers. Wendy pointed that out to me the other day.
I think one of the...
She doesn't care about spoilers, by the way. Yeah. I'm big on spoilers.
I think it was one that got me... remember that movie, Fight Club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Careful. Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm going to spoil.
I am not kidding you. Yeah. I know somebody who did not see that film until 2017 or so.
Mm-hmm.
2017, 2018.
Yeah.
And well, did not know anything about that film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was amazing. Mm-hmm. So there's probably still people who don't know anything about that film.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to... tone it down a bit.
I know, right? Or, it's a movie that's been out forever.
Because the movie's been out forever, I can say, forget it. If you don't know about now, that's your loss.
Okay? I'm okay with that, I guess. But yeah, that's fine.
So I'm going to go ahead and say it then, okay? It said, hey, you ever seen the movie Fight Club? It's this great movie about schizophrenia.
Oh, okay.
Right then and there, the thing that's been held in limbo all the way through that film has just been... basically spoiled for you right then and there.
Could be.
In that case.
I have the other thing that I have was, and this is all just spoiler stuff we're talking about here, but what was I thinking about? Oh, a lot of the Disney shows like Mandalorian and, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, all these little Disney shows.
Yeah.
I wait for these shows to finish releasing before I watch them. In other words, I don't watch them week to week.
Right.
I let the whole series come out. That's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
You got people discussing. You got people talking about it. You got Discord stuff being said. You got forums. You got websites. All this stuff. It can be at times difficult to avoid. But what will happen is, because I'm waiting week to week, I might run across a spoiler that happened in episode one. But by the time I actually get around to watching the thing, it never stuck. I don't remember. So... yeah, it comes across fine. So there's that too. Let's get off the spoiler talk.
Before we spoil something, right?
For a very long time, we talked about spoilers. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. That's why I had to watch the new Star Wars show at 3 a.m. Spoilers aren't a thing, in my opinion. Everyone experiences things differently. So who cares if I know what happens? I know, but it's like, all right. We need to stop talking about it because I was about to bring up sports as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't tell me how that game ends. I'm going to watch it later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't tell me how this ends. I want to watch it later. I don't have a chance to watch it now, but don't tell me anything about it. I'll watch it later. You know.
And then you log into your internet browser, and the first thing that pops up is news about that game you want to watch.
I do it with my UFC fights.
Yeah.
I'm like, which is almost like my wrestling. But don't tell me. Don't tell me what happens or anything like that, because it's going to be annoying for me to watch through it knowing, well, no matter how close this may get, I know that that person's not going to lose here. You know, even if I get to a moment where it's like, oh my God, he might lose. Oh, I already know he's not. There's no tension.
Yeah.
There's nothing. So anyway, that's me. That's just me. So let's see. I managed not to be spoiled on Stranger Things, watching it 2 weeks late. I haven't watched 1 second of Stranger Things, and I'm fine with it, says Lethal Migraine. Tell me how it ends. I'll still watch it. I want to see how they got to that score. All right. Oh, you mean the game. Yeah.
Was it a blowout? Did they make a comeback? did someone make a mistake? Did someone screw something
up?
It
doesn't bother me. It almost takes the point. It almost takes, for me, again, this is an objective thing. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like there is absolutely no point in watching now. Because it's, I already know. So, let's see. What have you been playing? Actually, tell you what. I'll tell you what I've been playing, then we'll come back and do you, because you've probably been playing more than me. Mm-hmm. I have not really had a chance to play anything. I told you I bought a new game today, mm-hmm. Which was Norco. But all week, you and I played some Destiny on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do some more of that, I'm more than happy to. You just got to hit, because you're not on Discord and because you're playing on a PlayStation, mm-hmm. on a console, there's nothing where I can go immediately. I guess I could look at my app, but there's nothing I can just look at and say, oh, he's in game right now. Pop in and play.
Yeah.
I have no way to know that. I wish I did. Other than looking at your account on my PlayStation app, I guess, and seeing if you're on. But so, I mean, Destiny, I'm basically done with banking things, saving up. I finally got the exotic to drop last week. Mm-hmm. The one we were running the raid every Saturday night, and as members of the team would get the exotic to drop because the percentage of dropping after clearing is very low. It increases by like 1 or 2% every time you don't get it. Mm-hmm. So, and then you have to wait until reset at the end of the week to try again. So it's a weekly type thing.
Got to wait a week?
Yeah. Because if you run it one time and it doesn't drop, well, that's it. That's your one chance.
Yeah, great.
That's the only time you can get pinnacles to drop. It drops at the end. If you run anything, pinnacles don't just keep dropping every time you run something. Mm-hmm. If you run it and it drops the pinnacle and you're done with it, then you wait until you can still run and you may have a chance of it dropping. But the guarantee of it is only one a week. Mm. So this one was some exotic. I think it's a scout rifle. Maybe a pulse. I'm not sure. I don't even remember. I haven't even equipped it and played with it yet because it's just like, this is what I need from the raid. Let's just do it. And over time, everybody in our group had gotten it to drop except for like me and somebody else. He got his last week. I got mine on the run. The first run we did on Saturday night, we had a checkpoint for the boss. We just ran that. Took us, I don't know, 10 minutes less.
What's the name of the weapon?
I don't remember. I'm telling you, it's something that I wanted because it's exotic. But am I going to use it? I don't know. Will it become meta later on? Who knows? But I have it in case I need it, which is better than needing it and not having it. So, yeah, that happened, which means we're pretty much taking the next 2 weeks or so off from doing our regular Destiny stuff because everybody's pretty much good with it, and we're waiting for the season to roll back around or the new season to hit up. So, yeah. But I'll totally play. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was that. And then I spent most of the time playing No Man's Sky on Sunday. After that, I think I played a little bit of No Man's Sky for maybe an hour one day in the middle of the week. But other than that, I've been working on a bathroom. I have been working on Sunday. I replaced the master bathroom's faucet and drain. Mm-hmm. And then I started working on the guest bathroom and ran into some issues with a nut that would not budge. Mm-hmm. Finally got that done by Tuesday, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it was Tuesday. Got the nut off of there. Found out that I can't really use that sink anymore, so I have to replace the sink now. It has been a weekly thing of getting home, exercising, going to the bathroom, and messing around with the sink, trying to get it from where this is a sink and all the connections and everything else. None of this has been messed with since it was all first put in. Mm-hmm. And this house was built in the 70s.
Yeah.
So it's old, and it is, you know, it's like that tree that grew into the fence, you know? Yeah. It's sort of like it's just become the house. Yeah. So, yeah, I finally was able to, last night, I was finally able to pry the actual basin out of the cabinet. Mm-hmm. And get some measurements. And this morning I ran by and picked up a new basin took it to the house, put it in, just make sure it fit. got the faucets for it, connectors, all this other stuff, and there's so much more I have to do. So really, that's all I've been doing. That is it. I've been doing house renovation type, bathroom renovation, I suppose, whatever you want to call it. I have not really played anything at all.
Bathroom simulator.
Bathroom plumber simulator.
Plumbing simulator?
Yeah, plumber simulator is what I've done, which actually probably wouldn't be a good, a bad idea, but I'll stick to, you know, one of my favorite games, mini games, is the hacking mechanism in BioShock, where you got the tubes.
Pipe dream?
It's kind of pipe dream. Yeah. There's liquid that is slowly moving, and you've got to find the right connectors of the tubes to get it go from this end to the other end, and that sort of thing. So, so yeah, that's basically what I've, that's what I've been doing. That is it, and a little bit of No Man's Sky. I can't really tell you. I don't know. Right now, for anybody who is playing No Man's Sky, it's hard to tell you where I'm at in a game, because this is more of a game about, hey, explore, create, and keep doing that. But in the beginning, it's sort of tutorial-ish. And right now, the problems that I had last week, I was able to get through those. Okay. Trying to figure out what it was. I can't remember what it was. Salvage data or something like that I was looking for. I can't remember. But I made it to a space station where I got to talk to aliens or try to understand them, basically. And that's kind of like a port where you can sell stuff that you've found or buy stuff you need. A lot of different stuff there. And there's a I was trying to build a teleporter at my base on this planet. Get that powered up, which I did. And I was like, well, what do I do now? When you get to the spaceport, space station, they have a teleporter that is always there. And so if you need to get to your base, you just zip right in there. If you need to go back to the space, zip right through the thing. It's much more fun to fly, but zip, zip. Flying uses resources. So, you know. But just that sort of thing. And got it to, I want to say it was a distress signal or something. Went out to some other planet. I'm trying to make some sort of element, some sort of thing. I've completely forgotten, because I don't think I played this game until, or since maybe Tuesday or Wednesday was the last time I fired it up. I did play a little Vampire Survivors because that thing had massive updates. So I played some of that as well. So that is it. That is all of I play. That is all that I have played. And we are here at the bottom of the hour to take our break. And that is what we're going to do. When we come back, we will talk to RJ, find out what he's been playing, and then go into our, I don't know, whatever we're going to be talking about. It's kind of how it works. Whatever we're going to talk about. So, looking forward to hear. Now, other than Destiny, you played more than Destiny?
More than Destiny.
Okay, cool. That's a tell you. That's not really a tease, but it is a tease. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Music here from Digimon Survive. I was looking for music. I came across this. It is the main theme of the game. We will be right back after this. Thank you. And welcome back to In Game Chat. Music here from a game called Bear and Breakfast. The track is called The Thicket. That's a newly released title. You basically run a... You're a bear that you and you run a bed and breakfast. For other animals, I think. Anyway. By the way, speaking of stuff like that, I suppose, the free game on Epic Game Store this week is Cook Serve Delicious 3. So, look into that if you're looking for some free games. Every Thursday, a new game hits the Epic Game Store that is free for you. And it lasts an entire week until the following Thursday, and then a new game comes in. So get it while you can. RJ, what have you played? We talked about Destiny. You played some of that.
Yeah, of course. Did a little cleanup in the files in that game. Played that. Played a little bit of Street Fighter V after Evo. You know, I said I was going to get back into playing again, seeing how... Knock a little bit of the rust off anyway.
And had some announcements out of Evo, like didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
So awesome. We'll talk about those when we get to it, but yeah, go ahead.
But I play a little bit of that, knock a bit of the rust off, and then I start playing one fighting game, played something else. So I started playing Virtua Fighter 5 again. I'm still pretty fresh on that, so I didn't forget too much on there. But still, every time I go in there, I still want to go in there and play the training mode, get all the moves, get my moveset down. Remember all the moves that I can do with my character, playing with Jeffrey, and start going from there. Then after that, I got back into Elden Ring. Elden Ring had some changes made with this recent patch they put in there, mostly affecting the PvP mode that everyone got a little, some folks got a little upset about, but me not so much because PvP is not really my thing, but they made some patches to two of the most popular aspects in there, one weapon and one skill art. They took Rivers of Blood, which is a weapon that really speeds up and puts blood loss on your opponent.
Yeah.
And people were basically abusing that in PvP play. And then they did another a debuff on a skill called Bloodhound Step, which is a dash that turns you invisible briefly and invincible. So you could use that to really sneak around folks and do some be real hard to hit, but get real defensive. I think the debuff there is they made it less effective the more you used it, so you couldn't spam it all day. You had to like be pretty judicious with it if you wanted to be most effective.
Makes sense.
So yeah, so that happened with that. A few little things here and there that was picked up, and yeah, that's pretty much what I've done this week. Get back in the swing of things with fighting games and. Get back to some file maintenance on others before while I was playing Destiny all that time.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, anytime you're on Destiny and you want, you know, you just let me know, send me a message, something.
Okay.
Tell me. I'll team up with you. We'll run through stuff, and I can get you through some real.
Well, it's not much stuff. I mean, basically, they wanted to do a bunch of PvP stuff for Stasis. Getting building up your stasis part.
It's horrible.
They keep wanting me to go through Gambit and Crucible. I mean, basically doing the stuff that I steer away from because I don't have fun with that at all. But they insist that you do those things.
I know. I know. They play your way, except when you need to play it our way.
Except when we tell you not to.
All right, exactly. I kind of wish they would do that, too, because I wish they would take... Make it optional. In other words, play this many rounds of this PvP activity or go do this single player thing.
Yeah, choice. You know? Choices are good. Choices are very nice to have because this is just basically you must do this thing and only this thing if you want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and nothing else. So, yeah.
Well, you'll be around for the new season to roll out in about 2 weeks here, so... We can start fresh then, hopefully, but need to get your level up. Got to get you just running pinnacle things to get your light level up.
Yeah, won't be very effective though. I'm only like at 1477.
What did we do? Oh, we ran through that lament quest to get you that sword.
Yeah, I got an exotic sword, but unfortunately, I can only equip it when I take heart light off. So I got to find a replacement for that if I use that sword.
Yeah,
but I like heart light.
You don't like hard light?
I said I like hard light.
Oh, I thought you said I don't like hard light. I was like, no, that's your favorite gun.
I like hard light. No, that's not my favorite gun.
I know
gun.
It's not,
Song
but
of,
it's...
Song of Justice 6 is my favorite
gun. It's your favorite gun.
But hard light is just what I need when I need Void, I need Arc, I need Solar, and I can actually level it up as opposed to my Song of Justice, which is forever stuck at 1350, unless they take the brakes off of it.
Yeah, it could roll back around, I don't know.
Or if I find a better scout rifle with the type of range that I had on that weapon. But yeah.
I hope you do.
Yeah,
I hope something drops that you just love it.
I just have to keep playing until I do.
You do, really do. You got to find the weapon that's right for you, man.
Yeah, and watch. It'll be something in Crucible or Gambit that I don't like going through. That'll probably what happen.
Just all you got to do is play. To get your pinnacles, you need 3 matches of Crucible or 3 match and 3 matches of Gambit. Mm-hmm. And that'll drop stuff. And while you're doing that, you're going to be collecting things. After the end of each round, you're going to get something.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might get something you like. So worth just – and it doesn't matter if you win or lose them. It doesn't.
Yeah.
All you got to do is play 3 of them on each. Mm-hmm. So, boom, you're done.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it doesn't even have to be for Gambit it does, but for the Crucible PvP part – it doesn't have to be control. It can be whatever the rotating thing is, like Mayhem,
mm-hmm.
which is that you can knock 3 of those out in very fast time.
Yeah.
And it's all supers all day. So, mm-hmm. Just go and have nuts, go nuts and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So, a lot of stuff that we had. I don't know. Do I want to start there? If you start at the top of the list that I have here, that's going to be the most recent. Mm-hmm. If you go to the bottom, that's what happened last week. And I guess we could talk about last week since that was Evo. Mm-hmm. We got new characters from Street Fighter VI. Are these new or are these just returning characters? Because I'm not familiar.
One is brand new. Kimberly is brand new. Bajuri has been around since 4.
Okay.
Yeah. She's pretty much a fan favorite, but yeah. But Kimberly is brand new. Jury is returning.
Mm-hmm.
A returning character, yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well,
thoughts on those characters?
Well, I'm glad to see that Jury has her original ultra or super move back. That was better than the one that they gave her in 5. 5 was just a backflip with a big projectile. That was nothing special. But the one in 4 that she had was a very, it showed her personality. Basically how evil and sadistic she is, and
okay.
They brought that back for 6, and I like that. Fits her character, it's very good. Kimberly is kind of some new take on the characters Guy and Maki, basically the characters who were in Bushin Ryu, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name in 5 that they had. Their teacher, the main teacher of the style of Bushin Ryu, he was in there. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but there's a new variation of a character with Bushin Ryu in there.
Okay,
named Kimberly, ninja basically.
All right,
a ninja with a flashy ninja basically. That's what she is. But we've seen the picture of all the characters coming, going to be on that roster. A whole bunch of new folks on there, some old, some new, redesigned and things like that. So seeing these two in action, they look pretty good. Not my cup of tea. I'm going to see the rest of the roster and see if there's someone I can stick with and pick. But they look pretty good so far.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they teased, Tekken 8? Or the next Tekken?
The next Tekken. They just said, get ready. It was a picture of a retrospective of what it looked like when Kazuya threw Heihachi off the cliff. And then they just, bam, new image. And they had said, get ready. So that's all we got. So,
that's
okay.
It. Yeah, I know. It was a tease.
It was a tease. So,
as it would be, but... That is what we got.
Tekken 8 or new Tekken tag, we don't know. So just have to wait and see.
Looks like we're getting a new Fatal Fury game.
Mm-hmm.
After about 20 years. Is that fighting or brawler?
Fatal Fury? No, fighting game.
That's a fighting game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What, Streets of Rage.
Garou, Mark of the Wolves. I think they're going to make another Garou.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 4 is a brawler.
That's the Me Against the World type.
Yeah, fight. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. Fatal Fury is...
Yeah, SNK's a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, 20 years
since
we've had a Fatal Fury game, from what I'm reading here. I really haven't paid attention because I never played Fatal Fury.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about it, but I never messed around with it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Brand new Fatal Fury.
That's the thing they do now. Something from 20 years ago, trying to get get exposure to the new generation of gamers and whatnot. Or they're just running out of ideas. Just bring it up.
I don't know. I think more than likely. Well, then again, I don't know when development began on something like that, or how long it's been in development to know when that sort of started. But I mean, the success of Streets of Rage 4, I would imagine, did a lot for this. Hey, let's go back to our old well here that we haven't gone to in a while.
It's not the first time that a retro game has been remade or redone or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's had massive success. The reason why Streets of Rage 4 got as much pull as it did was because of the Streets of Rage remake that was made by Bomber Games a while back. Because people were clamoring for Streets of Rage. And Sega was spinning their wheels and not doing anything with it, which is typical of them. They have plenty of titles they could do something with, but they won't. Now they're either scared to pull the trigger or something like that. Reading Console Wars showed me what Sega basically does.
I know, right?
That's what they do. That's their MO. But
great book, by the way. We highly recommend Console Wars book.
But people were clamoring for it, and people just took it upon themselves to say, okay, Sega's not doing it, so we may as well get these resources that are available and make our own.
Yeah.
And when they did, Sega saw how much people loved it, and then they tried to put some stuff out and say put a cease and desist order, which made more people want to get Bomber Games' version instead of what Sega was pushing out there. So go figure. If people want it, they're going to find a way to get it. So you may as well do something with your property.
What would be another retro fighter type brawler maybe that you would like to see them revive?
Sega?
Any of them.
I've always been clamoring for Eternal Champions. I've always clamored for them to make to remake that in some kind
of way. When was the last one that we had? What was the last Eternal Champions we had?
The last one was Eternal Champions CD, Challenge from the Dark Side, mm-hmm. that one. And I think it was on the Wii in the Nintendo shop a while back. I think that's the last time it made an appearance. But I haven't seen anything other than that. I mean, I've seen some images of remade stuff with it, but I don't think it ever went anywhere. I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah.
But Eternal Champions is definitely something that I would love to see Sega get back to.
Primal Rage.
Yeah, I remember that one. Primal Rage, yeah. Clay Fighter. Yeah.
I would take Clay Fighter. That's exactly what I would take.
You would take Clay Fighter?
Oh, I would love a Clay Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I would love Clay. I remember Clay Fighter, and then I was on the SNES, and then I think they did Clay Fighter 64, Super Clay Fighter, or something.
Yeah.
I would love a Clay Fighter.
Who's your character in there?
Dude, I don't remember them. The snowman, I think.
Bad Mr. Frosty.
Is that who it was? I don't know.
Bad Mr. Frosty.
I can only remember the cover art.
Helga, the Viking woman. There was an Elvis impersonator named Blue Suede Goo. some Gumby ripoff, or Blob, or something like that. I'm not going off of memory.
I really enjoyed just the look of that. Just the look was really good. The other one, I'll tell you the other one, and it's not, okay, it is old. Time does a weird thing the older you get. It doesn't feel like things were that long ago, but they actually were longer than you think. I want another, and they tried to do it, and they didn't do it well, but I miss, was it Def Jam? What was the fighter?
Fight for New York.
Yeah.
One of the most popular ones, before they released, the last one they released was Icon, and that was
That failed.
That was terrible.
The one previous before that was the sequel to,
sequel to Fight, Def Jam Vendetta.
Yeah.
First one was Vendetta. Which was good and all right.
And Fight for New York was really good.
Fight for New York was more popular than that. I mean, there were tournaments for that. That people had tournaments.
God, it was
for that.
Good.
The most hype I saw in a tournament lately was for the one for Fight for New York.
Yeah,
that was a really good one.
No, it was great.
Which made Icon's failure all the more painful because
didn't somebody buy Jeff? Was it Snoop? Did who somebody buy Def Jam?
No. I think
Snoop bought
Death Row Records.
Death Row Records.
So, but the problem with Fight for New York, basically a remake for that, is the licensing,
the music and everything.
It would be a total, complete mess.
It would be a mess.
Too many. There are too many songs in there that's right switching back and forth, and too many actual licensed artists that is like, nope, don't want you in that. Can't put you in that. Yeah,
I think it was me and Dave, me and Ben would sit there and play that, and it would just. Man, it was great. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was. Still is.
Yeah.
Still good. Yeah, we still have a good time with it.
Speaking of Fight Club made a fighter once.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do too well. I thought it would, because I'm like, oh, you're Fight Club. All right. It didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Either it was in development and never got released, or it did release and was just, you know, dead on arrival. Didn't do anything.
Shame.
What is it? Bama Bryant says, Bonker, Ichabod, Clay, Tiny Helga, Dr. Hoppy Clay, Kangaroo, yeah. Lady Liberty, Octohead, Lockjaw, Pooch.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I remember Ichabod Clay, yeah. I remember that name. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Sleep, niche title or sleeper hit, whatever it was. I remember Clay Fighter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good times, man. Try to think some other things, good games that not particularly in the fighting genre that would make a good that would be good remade.
Well, you know, while you're thinking about that, there was, and I don't have it. Yeah, I do. No, I don't. No, here it is. No, it's not there.
Get our hopes up. Why don't you?
Well, some dude went and found new codes for Super Punch Out.
Yeah,
a game that's it's old. This is old.
Mm-hmm.
They found a two-player code so that somebody can control the other fighter. Like, yeah. You'll be Little Mac doing your thing, but then they, if you do the code and everything, they can plug a controller in and play as whoever it is you're against.
Yeah.
With all the little super moves and everything else. I thought it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. 20, I don't know how many years, almost 30 years.
Yeah.
This code just laid dormant and somebody was able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty interesting.
A lot of that happen. They just forget the code they put in there to test out, you know, and then they just leave it in there.
It depends because obviously nowadays a game gets released and then the developer has so many avenues to tease or hint or just interact with the player base.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back then you had a magazine that came out, you know, once a month, and that game, by the time the publishing came, it's like, nope, we're done. We're moving on,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so would the team, just waiting for it to happen. And, of course, just things, information wasn't as immediate as it is now. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been nice for them to, you know, say, oh, by the way, we put these codes in here. Or at least tell us, there's still these codes that exist. Go out and find them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not going to tell us, here's the code, here's what it does, blah, blah, blah. Just tell us. Not everything has been found for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Go have fun and search. Again, for spoiler sake.
<There you
are. laughs> To bring it right back around to the spoiler stuff. I see that Chris is in the Discord. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Look at that. Listen to that. Listen to that. That sounds so good.
Yeah, I don't think the phones were working.
Oh, you know what? That's right. We did have a problem with our phones. I remember now. Yeah, that happened on Friday, about halfway through the day. About 11 a.m., the phones decided to stop working on us or something. I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, so I totally forgot about that. But hey, you're on Discord now. It sounds great. What's going on? What have you been playing?
Oh, not much. Just working more on Xenoblade 3. And my buddy Tim at the game store, Retro Game Planet, found a cool free little zombie game, Don't Bite Me, Bro. So I got into that a little bit. Been playing and working on my little base on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way, if you know, you were just talking about little retro game stuff like that. I was reading last night. If you're a Netflix subscriber, you have access to the Netflix games. And I don't know if you know this, but I mean, I know a lot of people are Netflix subscribers. So you need to open up the Netflix. And I was like, how do you find these games? I don't know. They're only for your mobile devices.
Never mind.
I know, right? But there's a lot of little bitty fun games in there, like, you know, Breakout Clone. There's a Breakout Clone in there, which would be nice to play while I'm just. And they're free, so I don't mind it. But you open up the Netflix app on your phone or your tablet. Scroll down and you'll see a list of games. When you click on those games, it'll open up the app store and you can just download them for free. There is no in-app purchases. You get the entire thing for absolutely free, and there you go. You can have it on your iPad, iPhone, or any your Android stuff too. I don't know what they do, but those as well. Your tablet or your phone. There's a ton of games available to you. A lot. There is the. Oh, gosh. What is it called? It's the one where if you blink, time passes as you blink. Before Your Eyes is what it's called, which was a game I was really interested in, but it's apparently on the iPad. Into the Breach, which is another really cool game on PC, but it's actually on the iPad as well. Or I say iPad, it's on Netflix Games. So anyway, that just made me think of it, Chris. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to hijack your call there.
But yeah, you were talking earlier in the beginning of the show about chewing gum when you were going to the different shows and stuff. And I remember one of the old sayings my buddy, RJ's buddy Mason, told me years ago, whenever I started chewing more than one piece of gum at a time, and he said, only be like a normal person, just chew one piece at a time. And I told him, I'm not normal.
Well, however you want to enjoy it. You bought the pack, have at it.
That's fine. Totally. I wouldn't give you for look, it's your own gum.
We talked about taking a chunk of bubble tape and biting the thing in half.
Of course.
So why not? Have at it, man.
Why not? When you're an adult, you can do what you want.
Within reason.
Exactly. I mean, this is eons ago when we were kids, like 7, 8 years old or something. But I just remember like, so what? I'm not normal, though.
Mm-hmm. How many hours have you put into Xenoblade now?
Let me look real quick.
Oh, are you playing it right now?
That's the beauty of Discord.
I know, right? Yes, you can just do whatever you want.
I'm playing it on the little handheld device, portable.
Mm-hmm.
He's checking now to see.
Over or under 150?
I would say he is probably close to 100.
Okay.
I don't think he's hit 100.
Okay.
But I could be completely.
82 hours and 23 minutes.
There we go.
Good job.
There we go. You're working
and
on that
whatever
milestone.
It means, I'm in chapter 6, but I don't know how many chapters are in the game, so I'm guessing about a little over halfway.
Oh, wow, okay.
82 hours
is halfway. Which makes sense for a game like Xenoblade, I would think.
Yeah.
A Japanese RPG?
JRPG or action RPG. I think it's action, or action than anything else.
Action RPG or JRPG, Chris? Chris, what do you think?
It's action Japanese RPG role playing game, but
action. Yeah.
So
there's no waiting your turn to attack or something like that, or
it's got a little timing system where the characters have to do special moves and they have, you know, your arts have little cooldown periods.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
It's action.
Okay. Yeah. See, that was the thing I couldn't do with JRPGs. It's like wait your turn to attack, and then the opponent has like 3 turns before you for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things like that. It just irritated me. When I hit a button to fire my weapon, I want the weapon to fire.
I know.
Like, wait my turn, so I couldn't get into that. Gave it a shot, but I couldn't. But it wasn't for me.
That's what bugged me when I was.
It has an auto battle mode where you can. It'll take control of your main character. You're controlling, which your other characters are controlled by the computer. But you can just go up there and attack an enemy that's around the same level, or if you want to just power level and put it on auto battle and just sit back and just watch them do their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. I like that idea.
Yeah. I see that featuring a lot of the mobile titles as well, the auto.
Yeah.
Auto mode, things like that. Yeah.
Well, Chris, it's great hearing from you, man. And thanks for jumping on Discord. You really should do the Discord thing more often. You sound fantastic coming through Discord.
Everybody does, man.
It sounds great.
I may have figured out what was going on with those wireless phones. I may have been out of the range of the mobile of the main base that transmits the signal. So it could have been something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Not an issue with this one, though.
Well, we're about to take a break. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right. See y'all.
See ya.
Take care now.
I was about to hang up on him, but they can't because of the phone. We're at the top of the hour here. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. You know, we talked about console wars. It's not really. It's Microsoft and Sony are having a little bit of a dispute over Call of Duty, of all things. And we'll kind of go into that. There's a lot to go into. I mean, you can sum it up easy, but there's a lot to it from how it started and where it's at. And I'm curious. I'm really curious as to where it's going to go, too. Here is music from the game V Rising, which is also on my wish list at the moment. V Rising, this is called The Castle. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Hard West. Hard West. There's a sequel out right now called Hard West 2. And I couldn't find music from that one, so I had to go back to Hard West, the first one, and get music from that. This one's called Born Under Trouble. Hard West.
I know you got a spot for westerns like Deadwood. Steve,
very much. There's a game on Steam. It's free to play. It's like an epilogue or something. I don't know what it is. Prologue maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it's supposed to be. It's called Deadwater Saloon. And everything that I see about it is like, they like Deadwood. Because like the main character of the saloon owner is just, okay, you took Swear Engine and you made him into a game thing. You know, I love the idea.
Yep.
I was reading reviews and they're very mixed. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, you know, but it also seems like it's free. I'm not sure exactly what the situation is on that. Yeah. So.
Free and still get mixed reviews. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, you just reminded me of another title to add to the hope to get remade list, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah. We've got a whole segment. I really wanted to get to this Microsoft Sony thing because, look, we haven't had. Yeah, sure. The whole competition when Microsoft said, "Here's our Xbox One that's $500," and Sony says, "Ah, here's our PlayStation 4 that's $400." Yeah, here's our Xbox One where you can't borrow and trade games between other people and blah, blah, blah. And Sony's like, but we can do this. That was nice little sparring. That was nice little fun. This is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different. So, man, this is going to get long. And I really have no way to give you a TLDR on this.
Can't give you the short version. It's got to be all the details. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sony claimed that Call of Duty is unrivaled and unique in a sense that Microsoft's ownership of such a game is going to hurt their, Sony's, prospects with it or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Microsoft's... So, you know, Sony said that from a development publication perspective, they believe that all games compete for engagement of the player. They said there are a few barriers to entry in game development and publishing for PC, that only one developer can create an indie game and distribute it online. But creating a high-end AAA game like Call of Duty requires a budget of hundreds of millions of dollars and thousands of employees. That is true. It does. They said that apart from Activision, there are few developers and publishers capable of producing AAA games such as EA with FIFA, Take-Two and Rockstar, Epic Games, that sort of thing. These games tend to be long-running franchises with big budgets, multi-year development cycles, and very supportive followers. Despite all of that, Sony believed that none of these developers could create a franchise to rival Call of Duty, which stands out as a gaming category on its own. That's why they believe that Call of Duty was so popular that it influences users' choice of console. In fact, their network of loyal users is so ingrained that even if a competitor had the budget to develop a similar product, it would not be able to create a rival. Basically, you know, hey, let's create a clone of this. Oh, it's a Call of Duty clone, and it could never match what Call of Duty is. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Call of Duty had been owned by Activision and was whatever is, you know, on... Activision doesn't make a console.
Right, right.
So, okay, fine. Microsoft does, and having a Call of Duty released with a Microsoft badge on it is going to draw people more towards the Microsoft platforms. Mm-hmm. It'll do even more if they put it on Game Pass, and I don't see why they wouldn't. So,
money.
that was RJ doing the money thing when he hit his mic. Let's see. They talked about the time, money, number of employees, millions of followers, sales, and other data points related to Call of Duty to show how it's a very unique franchise that cannot be replaced. They agreed that subscription services compete with games purchased for a one-time fee. In other words, your subscription service. I'm trying to think of a game that has subscription service. WoW used to. It may still do. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of others. That's a subscription-type service game, and Call of Duty is a one-time fee.
Yeah.
With DLC.
DLC, yeah.
let's not fool ourselves here. DLC. You're paying more than once, yeah, even when you buy Call of Duty.
Look, when I bought Street Fighter V,
Yeah.
You bought the initial $60 game, mm-hmm, and then you bought season 1, 2, 3, 4 over and over and over again. So, yeah.
So, yeah, they agreed that subscription services compete with games purchased for a one-time fee, but they thought that the lowest upfront cost of subscription services could be anti-competitive in relation to publishers who recoup the significant investments in games by selling them for an upfront fee. They also thought that this could harm consumers by reducing the quality of the games. They said that over the past 5 years, Game Pass has grown to capture approximately 60 to 70% of the global subscription services market. That market share is even greater in Brazil, where Game Pass represents 70 to 80% of the PC subscription services market. They believe that it would take several years for a competitor, even with substantial investments, to create a rival effective for Game Pass. They also said that Call of Duty represents an important revenue stream for the PlayStation. They provided data, but it's been redacted. And it's one of Sony Interactive Entertainment's biggest sources of revenue from third parties. Microsoft responded to that, saying, for starters, Microsoft understands that the relevant markets defined during the Bethesda acquisition are still relevant. That means no segmentation by genre, and that the market for digital distribution of games includes buy-to-play and other subscription services. Obviously, they don't want Game Pass perceived as their own market because they have a huge market share there, but, you know, that's what they said. They said that Microsoft will face competition from a number of game developers and publishers. In addition, all of their games have close competitors. In fact, the third parties named several rival third-party publishers who own popular gaming franchises, like the EA and like Ubisoft and like Take-Two, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, MS highlights arguments from Ubisoft, Riot, Amazon, or Google that confirm some of their arguments. Post-transaction, there will be multiples of developers and publishers and players using multiple devices to play. Microsoft says that in all the relevant markets that have a market share of less than 20%, and that usually means there is no risk of a anti-competitive effects there, there's only one market where they have more than that, the digital distribution of games, where Microsoft has more than 30%. However, they believe that Activision Blizzard's position in console gaming publishing is well below any levels that could result in market concerns. So even in that market, everything should be okay, according to Microsoft. I mean, that's going to be their response. Sony's going to say, hey, this is going to hurt us. Microsoft's going to say, hey, no, it's not. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what that's basically what was happening. Then it got a little different, and this is going to be the long part. Microsoft says, and I'm going to quote this, "Not surprisingly, Sony was the only third party to convey public opinion materially different from Microsoft and Activision Blizzard and the third parties regarding the competitive analysis of the transaction." Sony was the only one who said anything about it. That was the quote right there. Sony's the only one who said, we don't like this. Everybody else is fine. Mm-hmm. Nobody else had any other problem with it. According to Microsoft, Sony said that, number one, Activision Blizzard's Call of Duty franchise would be unrivaled and essential for the PlayStation console. Microsoft also said that Sony said the inclusion of Activision Blizzard content in the Xbox Game Pass catalog would represent a tipping point in the market. They feel like if you add it to Game Pass, they're going to lose revenue. Sony will. If Microsoft puts it up for their Game Pass subscription service, Sony will lose revenue because of that. And they're trying to make it that, look, Call of Duty is one of our biggest revenue makers. And by doing this, it's going to harm us. I guess they're trying to get ahead of this to say either they can't add it to Game Pass, maybe. That's what I guess what they're trying to get through.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Microsoft.
I don't see how they could stop them.
I know, right? Microsoft believes that Sony's isolated position can likely be explained by the fact that Microsoft's subscription game offering, Game Pass, like we've said, was launched as Microsoft's competitive response to Xbox's failure in the console wars, which goes back to the Xbox One X, yeah, and the PlayStation 4, and that whole lifespan of the Xbox One and the Xbox One S. and even the Xbox One X, not the Series X, but the Xbox One X, and the whole PlayStation 4 lifespan, Sony was just killing it. Maybe not in the game revenue, but selling more consoles than what Microsoft was.
Right, right.
Once it started at the release, they never were able to catch back up. They did pretty good, actually. But and I would say right now, if you look at PS5 and Xbox Series X, it is not as big of a gap as it was in the previous generation.
Right, right.
There's a lot of reasons for that. The price is the same for both, but it was availability, which was the biggest problem for a lot of people. Was like, I just can't get one because the pandemic and everything else kind of screwed that up. So, having said that, let's see. Sony's isolated position. Response to Xbox failure in the console wars and the need to offer players additional value compared to the buy-to-play traditional model. In this way, Game Pass threatens to compete more effectively with the buy-to-play model, which Sony has successfully adopted. Microsoft then goes in to say, here's another quote. In short, Sony is not resigned to having to compete with Microsoft's subscription service. Sony's public outcry on subscription games and the company's response are clear. Sony doesn't want attractive subscription services to threaten its dominance in the market for digital distribution of console games. In other words, Sony rails against the introduction of new monetization models capable of challenging its business model. Of course it would. Now, in the subject of Call of Duty being its own category of games, Microsoft says that Sony's argument seems to assume that the publishing and development market should be segmented based on the genre and type, but that Call of Duty would be a genre and market of its own. It's not.
No, it's not.
Microsoft believes that Sony does not present any element to substantiate the claim that Call of Duty would be a separate market from all the other categories of games. They say this, Sony is limited to commenting on Call of Duty's brand strength and loyalty and engagement. However, claiming that Call of Duty has a loyal following is a premise from which the conclusion that the game is a category of a game itself doesn't follow. The PlayStation itself has a foundation established by players loyal to the brand. This finding, however, does not lead to the conclusion that the PlayStation or any branded product with loyal consumers is a separate market from all the other consoles. Exploiting from such a finding, the extreme conclusion that Call of Duty is a genre category of its or a game category in itself is simply unjustifiable under any quantitative or qualitative analysis. I'm very proud of myself that I'm not stumbling as much on this, going over this. A lot of that. Sony also suggested that Call of Duty is essential for game publishers. Microsoft's response to that, they threw out a bunch of data, consumer spending on PlayStation or the percent of Sony digital sales worldwide. They got all of that stuff. Microsoft believes that Call of Duty is just one game among a wide range of best-selling games, many of which are not even available on Xbox due to exclusivity strategies adopted by Microsoft's competitors. When they bought Bethesda, Deathloop has to wait an entire year before we can have it on Microsoft.
Yeah.
Because of the exclusivity that was signed. So it's only been on PC and PlayStation. It has not yet even arrived on Xbox, I don't think.
Yeah.
So... let's see. There was another one. Let's see. I'm trying to find... see, this thing is, there's a lot of stuff here. And I'm trying to find the part where Microsoft accuses Sony of basically saying, look, we'll put our game on our system here or on our subscription service with PlayStation Plus Essential stuff.
Yeah.
We'll put your game over here, but if we do that, you can't put your game on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's what Microsoft seems to be accusing them of. Um, and I'm trying to find where that is. But there's so much here. They quoted an interview from Jim Ryan where he revealed that the company's, which Jim Ryan is the Sony CEO, he revealed that the company's strategy of not including new titles on PlayStation Plus on game launch day, which according to Microsoft clearly exposes resistance to a business model that threatens the device-centric strategy adopted by Sony. It's like, if you're not going to do that, then it's not going to draw people into your service. We put our games on Game Pass day and date. That's one of the biggest draws, mm-hmm. is when our first-party titles are available to play if you have a Game Pass subscription. Mm-hmm. But if you are talking about this is going to hurt our subscription service, or we're trying to build our subscription service and it's so hard to do with what Microsoft is doing, but yet you still won't put these launch titles on your PlayStation Plus thing, whichever tier you want to put it on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But in other words, copy us directly and then we'll talk about, we'll compare our, you know, our services.
Yeah.
But you're not copying us directly on this. You're not doing everything that we're doing on this. So we can't compare what you're doing to what we're doing. We can't compare your subscriber service to our subscriber service because you don't offer, doesn't matter the titles that are on offer. It's just a matter of what is there as far as like, you know, day and date on things. Mm-hmm. So let's see. Microsoft says there is a strong upstream competition, rival game distribution channels, console stores, subscription services, including exclusive content that's not available to Microsoft consumers. They also point out that the use of exclusive arrangements has been at the heart of Sony's strategy to strengthen its presence in the gaming industry. Microsoft says that in addition to owning exclusive first-party content, Sony has also entered into agreements with third-party publishers to secure other forms of exclusivity with respect to certain games, such as marketing exclusivity or exclusivity rights with respect to downloadable content. Seeing how Sony is a leader in the distribution of digital games, Microsoft sees Sony's concern about the eventual exclusivity of Call of Duty as incoherent, and that it only reveals their fear regarding an innovative business model that offers high-quality content at low cost to players, threatening a leadership that was forged from a device-centric strategy and focused on exclusivity throughout the years. Microsoft says that their ability to continue expanding Game Pass has been hampered by Sony's desire to inhibit such growth. That's where they're calling them out, saying like, hey, your little exclusivity deals to not be on our thing. Kind of Sony's claiming that you're going to hurt us by putting Call of Duty on Game Pass. And Microsoft says, well, you're going to hurt us by getting exclusivity deals that doesn't allow games to go on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
They're arguing almost of the same thing.
What else is old?
So, yeah, that was, yeah. It, there's some more to it than that. I'm not going through everything because it is a lot of stuff. And I think all of that, because especially anytime I was quoting Microsoft or even Sony, it felt like it was boardroom speak, you know, mm-hmm. or even PR speak, if you want to go through that, where mm-hmm. it's just a bunch of legal talk.
Yeah.
Like, don't say the wrong thing here. Don't say this. If you're going to list this, talk about genre, blah, 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 and all this stuff. It can get a little, you can drown a little bit in the words. So, but it's interesting. Sony supposedly pays for blocking rights to keep content off of Game Pass. Like, hey, we're going to buy this from you, but we'll give you a little bit extra if you sign this exclusivity deal with us, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't go on Game Pass. Somebody in this thread asked, is that something we knew about before that Sony does that? And somebody said, yeah, Resident Evil Village has a deal of the sort in place. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. So, I mean, we talked about, you know, this goes way back to the, this goes way back to Xbox Live Arcade. We had, and I don't remember the developers' names or the company, but it's the ones who did N Plus.
Okay.
The little ninja game, little stick figure ninja game. Mm-hmm. They were releasing on, I think it was N Plus Plus or N something else. They were releasing on Xbox Live Arcade, and we asked them about how it was working with Microsoft. They did not go into it, but they weren't, first off, they weren't willing to talk about it because they didn't have a good opinion of it. Mm. They didn't want to go into that. As it stood, yeah, they didn't like it. They didn't like getting into bed with Microsoft. The money was good, but they didn't like the fact that they had to kind of give up their ability to get more people involved by doing it. But the problem with that, the problem with that is that you get a money hat from Microsoft to do that. And as an independent developer, that's tempting offer.
Yeah, look, it's nice to have your own. I get that, but their money, their rules.
Yeah.
If you want it, you got to play by our rules.
And as an indie dev, and by an indie dev, it was two people who worked on that game. They look at, well, here's the total amount that Microsoft is going to give us for this. Here is how much our game cost and what we might could make by releasing out here.
Mm-hmm.
You can risk it and see if we even come close to this. But usually whatever the money hat was just such a number that was like, okay, fine. We'll take the money and run, and that's what they did. But they weren't happy about it. They didn't like some of the hoops they had to jump through. But that's going years and years and years back. Mm-hmm. I'm sure things have changed. I assume things have changed. I don't know. I haven't talked to anyone about it. But, we talked to Compulsive Games, who did Contrast.
Okay.
Had a two-part interview with them where we talked about their... Because they got put on PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually a replacement for one of the first games that got on the PlayStation Plus platform where, you got it for free.
Mm-hmm.
They were one of the first ones. And... they talked about it and basically said the same thing. Yeah, we were offered this much money, and when we look at what is this going to get us, number one, it's going to get us massive exposure for being on the PlayStation Plus platform, even more so back then because it was one of the first. So it's one of those things where you're going to have a ton of people playing your game. It's a launch title for this new system and this new program that this system is launching with PlayStation Plus. People, it's enticing that, you get two free games every month for this $15 price. Wow. And here are your games. And a lot of people already signed up for it, but they had to do a replacement at the last minute for Drive Club or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And Contrast got in there and they got money for it. And they're like, yeah, for us, it worked out to be, this is what we wanted. And we could take that money and work with it and do something better and then get further out there if we needed to. So, not for nothing, I don't know what they did after Contrast. I'm not sure. They did have something in the works after Contrast because I saw concept art, at least, if not some sort of work in progress for whatever they were making. But that goes back a long time ago. So, yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's the whole Microsoft versus Sony situation thing going on. I don't know where you stand. It feels like Sony had one initial complaint, and Microsoft said, well, let me respond to that. But while we're here, let me add to that with more. And it just overflowed with tons and tons of, furthermore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's fun console wars right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. Not that we benefit from, I benefit from it just from watching the drama. That's fine. But I'm fine with console wars. I wrote the piece about it. I guess it was this past weekend where I talked about the fact that I don't really care about them anymore. But anytime two companies compete, the consumer wins.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, that's the case. As long as there is competition out there.
Yeah.
The consumer's going to win.
Part, you need the competition so that...
You got to have the competition. So, anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hit up a bunch of other news. We're going to talk about that THQ showcase that happened yesterday. And if you know me at all and watched any of that, you know exactly what I'm going to be talking about. We'll go over all of that. But one thing very specifically we're going to be touching on. Also, we will talk more about... I think RJ had some games in mind for doing some retro remaster type mm-hmm. things or retro re-releases sort of thing. And I'll talk to you about next week's music. Maybe we can get some Lego talk in there too, because I did do some Lego stuff. But that's all coming up after the break. Music here is requested. We got a request. And this is interesting that this is what is going to be playing here is what led into what is going to happen next week with music. But I'll talk about that. This is requested music. It is Echo, The Tides of Time, which I'd never pulled. I think I pulled from Echo, the mm-hmm. Dolphin, but never. What is this, sequel or third, or which one is this one?
I think it's a sequel.
Okay, the sequel, Echo, The Tides of Time, as requested. We will be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Farthest Frontier, the main theme to that. Yeah, so to talk about next week's music thing, I was looking up Echo, The Tides of Time, and came across an orchestrated version of it, mm-hmm. done by a full orchestra. Mm-hmm. Turned out it was from the proms, the BBC proms, mm-hmm. that takes place every year about this time. I guess it was about this time. I thought it was earlier in the spring, but I guess it is. No, it is the summer. It is the summer. And they recently this year, and I had heard about this, but I really hadn't thought to look it up, but I had heard that they added a video game segment to the proms. And it's about 30 minutes. And one of those they did was Tides of Time. Anyway, that is what every single cut of next week will be from that. Mm-hmm. I downloaded the entire 30-minute thing, and I got to go through and section out, you know, what they are and that sort of thing and get them in there. But that's what next week's music will be. So orchestrations of some video game music there. So anyway, welcome back. THQ did a showcase yesterday. I didn't know anything about it until... So what happened was I got an email from Three Fields Entertainment, because I guess I had signed up for something from them. I don't ever remember because I hadn't heard from these people in forever. The subject says, you might want to open this right now. It says, we promised to tell you first. We promised you that we would always tell the Dangerous Driving Club our news first, so we are giving you the heads up that you might just want to watch this tonight. And it had a link to the showcase for THQ Nordic. And so... That was, I don't know what time that was. But anyway, that was earlier in the day, and I thought, oh. And then something got leaked on Amazon. I guess the store page for it on Amazon got leaked. Mm-hmm. And Wario sent out a thing on his little Twitter, which I follow for game sales, but about other things too. And so he put that out there. And then, oh, okay. The thing started, I think it started at 1:30 or 2 o'clock was when the THQ thing happened. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot. There was a lot there. And we're going to go through all of it. And I'll, you know, we'll cover that as well. Alone in the Dark got announced, a reimagining of Alone in the Dark. Let's see. It's being written and directed by a guy who wrote, the guy who wrote Soma at Frictional Games, which is the same company that did, what is it called? Oh, gosh. It's very atmospheric horror. And it starts with an A. It's not I don't think it's called The Abyss. God, I'm completely stumped now. I remember Matt playing it. What the hell was the name of that game?
From Frictional Games?
Frictional Games. Mm-hmm. What is it? Are you looking it up right now?
I'm looking at Frictional Games.
Yeah?
Amnesia.
Amnesia. That's what it was. God, I don't know why I could not think of that. But yeah, Amnesia is what I was thinking. I had amnesia. I couldn't remember the title. Yeah. Yeah, Amnesia is what they made. And so, yeah, they're working on, or at least somebody wrote and is directing the new Alone in the Dark. We got Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed. That didn't look at all fun. A game called Space for Sale. That looked interesting. Basically, the Mirage Game Studios is calling Space for Sale a hands-on management sim. It's one that sees players roaming exotic, procedurally generated planets in an attempt to find the perfect spot to satisfy their demanding alien clients' every real estate need. There is no release date. It is coming out on PC. It felt a little bit like way more streamlined No Man's Sky.
Yeah, I was the description of it made me think of No Man's Sky immediately. The title alone
had
me thought about that.
Let's see, a remake of the game called Gothic. Mm-hmm. There's that one. They released a new trailer for that. Jagged Alliance 3. New trailer for that. A game called Tempest Rising. It is Slipgate Ironworks' stab at capturing the magic of the classic real-time strategy games of the 90s, like Command & Conquer, and it has a very Command & Conquer feel to it, by the way. So, let's see. What else? Outcast 2, A New Beginning. I don't remember Outcast. I should probably go look that up and see, because I feel like I could remember that. A game called Way of the Hunter that I'll never play. It's just, it's an open world hunt animals. That's it.
Big safari hunter?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
A game of gorgeous open world vistas and shooting wild, majestic animals in the head. Way of the Hunter may well be very good for people who like those things. If that's you, you don't have to wait long. It's coming out August 16th. I played one at E3, I think, one time, and hilarity ensued for the way that you could shoot and then like follow the trajectory of either the arrow or the gun or whatever it was you were shooting. I don't know. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was hilarious because there were bugs and things. It was bad.
So not exactly Sniper Elite.
I mean, it's going way back. This was way, way back. Mm-hmm. AEW Fight Forever was shown off. I'm not...
Wrestling title.
I need to see more. Mm-hmm. They didn't show very much, but I would like to see more, and I'd like to see what other kind of features are in it. Mm-hmm. Not just, hey, it's wrestling. I want to see, is it career mode or manager mode or anything? I'm curious as to what...
Create a wrestler, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to know everything they have. SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake. That was shown off as well. Stuntfest World Tour, Knights of Honor 2, The Valiant. And then they showed off Cosmic Shake. I don't really know anything to tell you about it. It's a SpongeBob game. Mm-hmm. So, and Recreation is what it's... Recreation is what it is called. Three Fields Studios, Three Fields Entertainment, They're the ones who did, they were the ones who had a bunch of people from the old Burnout games go off and make their own studio. They did Dangerous Golf, which I know sounds weird, but it was fun. They also did Dangerous Driving and then Dangerous, no, there was a game in between that. There was Dangerous Golf, and then there was another car game. And then they had Dangerous Driving. And I'm trying to remember what the other car game was called. But I can't
remember. What did Carmageddon? No, that's something else I'm thinking about.
No, and it's really bugging
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone, that's what it was. I knew it had danger in the title because that's what they were going for, whatever that was, but had danger in the title.
So Dangerous Golf, Lethal VR, Danger Zone 2, Dangerous Driving, and then upcoming, like you said, Recreation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Danger Zone and Danger Zone 2. And then they, basically, Dangerous Golf was something very small that they did, and it brought in people to buy it. And that money went to do Danger Zone.
Mm-hmm.
The money for that went into Danger Zone 2. The money for that went into Dangerous Driving. And the money for that was supposed to go into Dangerous Driving 2. We'd been waiting to hear. Three Fields had just gone completely silent after Dangerous Driving released and kind of didn't do too well. They had taken a money hat from EA, or not EA, but Epic Games.
Mm-hmm.
And the only place you could play it on PC was the Epic Game Store.
Had quite a little gap, though. I mean, Dangerous Golf was 2016, and then the Lethal VR was the same year. Danger Zone 2017, 1 year later, Danger Zone 2, 1 year later, Dangerous Driving.
Right.
And then Recreation is out, not coming out till 2023.
Well, so I think they were working on Dangerous Driving 2, and it's likely what this was supposed to be. But then THQ Nordic came in and gave them a bunch of money, I guess, and some material, you know, whatever to do, and said, hey, we want you to do what you want to do. And so they're coming up with Recreation. I can't tell you much about it. I can tell you that I need to see more. I mean, it's Three Fields Entertainment. I know what they've done before. I know who the people are that are working on it. They like driving games and wrecking cars, which is exactly what I enjoy out of my racing games, driving and wrecking cars.
Not your car, other people's cars.
Of course, yeah. The trailer that they have shows off the creation part. The fact that you can build, it's like if Trackmania and Burnout had a baby. Because tracks go all kinds of in the air, in the sky, you know, high-rise tracks and things like that. They're just windy and loopy and just strange, you know, as far as stunt tracks and everything else. It seems like you can build in real time, which is also strange. But I need to see more, because for all the creation they showed off, they showed us very little of the wreck part. And I want to see more of the wreck part. I'm not saying that I'm not there. I am. I'm going to be there. But I really hope there's more to it than that. And I know there is, but I need to see more.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be coming to PlayStation 5, Xbox, and PC next year. It'll have player-created content, sort of open world type of thing, but we don't know exactly how all that's going to work. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. And that was the THQ Nordic showcase that they did. So, Hogwarts Legacy got delayed into next year. That Marvel XCOM game, Midnight Suns?
Midnight Suns, yeah.
That got delayed. We don't know. They said it's delayed, and we cannot give you a date on when it is going. So, I'm not sure what happened.
It'll be out when it's out, yeah.
Do not know what happened on that one. Yeah. Yeah, there's some other stuff I wanted to get into on this, but we don't have a lot of time right now, so I'm not going to worry about it. I know you wanted to go back and talk about some of your games you wanted to get remastered, retroed,
something like that.
Yeah.
Like a couple of titles that I thought about. I was thinking about Burger Time back in 1982, but I saw the remade things from...
How long ago was that? Did you have a date on that?
Hmm?
The remake we were watching of Burger Time on your laptop
like
there.
What year was that? Burger Time World Tour?
Was that?
I think it was called.
What year was that?
Let's see.
I can look that
kinda
up.
It was kind of like Midway's Burger Time World Tour. 2011.
Okay.
Yeah. From Monkey Paw Games. But I was thinking, when it said Burger Time World Tour, I thought about Rampage World Tour back in the day like that. And it had
seems
a similar
to have the same,
to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one. Revolt. when I played that on the Dreamcast.
Okay.
Basically, Revolt was like the remake of RC Pro-Am on a bigger scale. So Revolt's been long enough. Bring that back out. And then when you were talking about your Westerns and whatnot, I thought about that game from Konami, Sunset Riders.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite side-scrolling Me Against the World type games out there. And I'd like to see a remake of that one as well.
Yeah, let's see. 3D Update, Burger Time World Tour. It was delisted from Xbox Live Arcade.
Mm. Not a lot of good scores I see on the thing.
Yeah. Oh, look at Lethal Migraine throwing that out there. Paperboy needs a reboot and Skate or Die. I would agree with both of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would agree with Skate or Die. Man, Skate or Die should.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever play 720?
That was a sequel to it, wasn't it?
Was it?
Was it? Was it?
I didn't know it was a sequel to Skate or Die.
What, I mean, I'm asking, was it?
I don't know. I just remember that was one of your skateboarding games back then.
Yeah,
there were very few skateboarding games. There was 720. There was Skate or Die. California Games, that was in there. And what, TC Surf Surf Country? TNC Surf?
TH something Surf Country.
TNC
Surf Country, yeah.
TNC Surf Country thing, whatever that was, with the gorilla that surfed.
Yeah. The only real skateboarding game I played, really,
Tony Hawk was Frisbee stuff.
Top Skater. But the only aspect of Top Skater that...
What year was that?
It was one of those Sega titles that was from... I want to say early.
Yeah, these are all 2000s. NES. Yeah, these are all NES games. Yeah. The Paperboy, Skater. Well, I mean,
this is arcade.
It was arcade. Yeah, exactly.
97, Sega 97.
Okay.
The only aspect of the game was how are you going to implement that that system, because you had that. It was basically a big skateboard. You kicked the board.
Oh,
forward
that's
or
right.
Back,
yeah.
And you had to swing it back and forth to get spins on your tricks.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah, that was only. The only thing holding it back was the unique control scheme.
Yeah,
to keep it from coming to a console or anything like that, really, unless you emulate it, really. But I remember those skating games like that. And Paperboy, always for me was throwing that paper at the right angle to hit the burger on the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
But I never got the point of hit your subscribers. And not your other people who don't subscribe.
Right.
And the burglar was almost always at the house that didn't get a subscription. So it was just basically there to tempt you to throw a newspaper at the wrong house, really. Or just breaking windows if you felt like it. And then the theme part, the skate part, the BMX track, at the stunt track at the end.
God, see, now I want to break out my NES Mini that I put all those games on. And I just want to go through and be like, that would be good. They should redo that one. Yeah. That would be good, but it'll take me all day. There's so many games.
Yeah.
So many of them.
Mm-hmm.
God, California. You brought up California Games. That has been a long time. California Games had a hacky sack game that I was horrible. I was horrible at every single game they had on there. There was a biking game, like a BMX. It wasn't BMX. But there was a bike type game in California Games. There was hacky sack. There was frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
I sucked at every single one of them.
If they could do... California Games, like EA did SSX.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that would be good. God, SSX needs to come back, too.
Yeah.
That's not even as old as what we're talking about, but SSX really needs to...
So
good.
SSX was a really, really good game for me.
Just do Tricky again, man. Tricky was great. Fantastic. They won't. We got a few more minutes here.
See another one from Ben Bryson, Wizards and Warriors.
That I don't remember.
Was that a PC? Let's see.
I don't know. I'm shrugging my shoulders here. I have no idea. It doesn't ring a bell to me, Wizards and Warriors.
Game is a game series. Action platform, 87.
Hmm. I bet if I saw the box art, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what it is.
It was like Conan with a flaming claymore.
Wizards and Warriors?
Wizards from Acclaim.
Warriors.
Acclaim?
This says American Comic. Oh, no, there's video game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, that box, that does not ring a bell to me. Although, looking at it, I really like the layout. Ooh. Yeah, okay. Remake that. It's on Steam. Is this the same game that's on? I'm looking at it on Steam. Is this the same one that was on? Looks like it might have. Oh God, yeah, it does look like it might have been. That's some old stuff, man. Mm-hmm. It's got very positive. All reviews are very 87% of the 190 user reviews for this are very positive for this game. So It is $15. Little man, put that. Yeah. Anyway, modern day Excite Bike. Good job. Yeah.
Oh no! You want to? You don't want to anger folks on that one.
No,
Excite Bike's almost up there with Uno. ticking folks off.
Man. They did a great job moving that over to the electronic part of things with the Xbox Live Arcade. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to run, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week. Don't forget to hit us up on Discord or YouTube. Subscribe to us there. Download the shows off of iTunes. Subscribe to us on all of the places that you can. We just really appreciate you guys hanging out with us and joining us. Thanks, Chris, for jumping into the Discord. And everybody have a fantastic week. I'm going to go work on a bathroom. We'll see you next Saturday. Here's music from a game called South of the Circle. This track is called Start. Have a great week. Bye-bye.